Oh, listen to him now. This is Job. Again, this is a plaintive plea that he makes. But Job answered and said, this is chapter 6, "Oh, that my grief were throughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balances together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up." Job says, "I can't even tell you how terrible my grief is. I can't explain to you this awful thing that has happened to me." Now you can see this man has not helped him at all. Just to tell him you got some secret sin, and thing for you to do, boy, is to confess, get right. And that, my friend, is not always the thing to say. May I inject this here? I see this today, and I'm sure it's done by those who mean well. I see it on bumper stickers. Christ is the answer. Now, may I say to you, He is the answer. But what's the question? Now, if the question is, what must I do to be saved? Then Christ is the answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, if the question is, I'm going down to the market today, and I wonder what kind of meat I ought to have. Should I have ground round, or should I have maybe chicken? What should I have? I don't think he's got the answer for that one. My feeling is that when you say Christ is the answer, let's make sure that we know what the question is first. And that is the thing that Job is trying to get through to us now. He says, my grief is such that I want an answer. My grief needs an answer. And just to come along and say Christ is the answer, you haven't given me the handle yet. You haven't told me. You need to recognize what my question is. And this man hasn't been able to fathom. Eliphaz, he missed the point altogether. Now, he said a lot of nice things, good things. And it's sort of like they said of President Coolidge. He didn't say very much, but what he said was generally worth listening to. He went to church one day, came home, and his wife, who'd been ill, didn't go. And she said to him, "Did you hear a good sermon today?" He said, "Yes." "What did the preacher preach on?" He said, "Sin." "Well, what did he say?" "Well, he was against it." My friend, may I say to you that we need, frankly, a little better answer than that. Job needs more than what's been given to him. Now, listen to him. He's crying out. Now, he's like a wounded animal. "For the arrows of the Almighty are within me. The poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me." And then he says, "Doth the wild ass bray when he hath grass? Or loweth the ox over his fodder?" Job says, "I'm crying out, and you can see my misery, and you show no pity at all. I wouldn't be crying out. You're acting as if I'm not in trouble. And when a little old long-eared donkey is out in the field, and he's eating grass, he's not braying for something to eat." And Job says, "I'm not crying out because there's nothing that is hurting me. I'm hurting, and he's hurting bad." Now, will you notice this? "Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg?" And that's pretty tasteless, is it not? "The things that my soul refused to touch are as my sorrowful meat. Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for, even that it would please God to destroy me." Now, he's hit bottom, friends. He's got no help anywhere. He actually now questions the justice of God. "Oh, if God would only destroy me, get rid of me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off." He wants to die. Now, he's miserable. "Then should I yet have comfort. Yea, I would harden myself in sorrow. Let him not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. What is my strength that I should hope? And what is mine end that I should prolong my life? I haven't anything to live for." That's what he's saying. Is my strength the strength of stones, or is my flesh of brass? He said, I'm weary. I can't stand anymore. The pressure's too great. Is not my help in me, and is wisdom driven quite from me? Now listen to his cry. Oh, what a cry. To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend. But he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. My friend should have shown pity to me, should have sympathized with me, but he didn't. And then he says here, verse 15, my brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, and as the stream of brooks that pass away. Now what he's saying is this, and this is beautiful poetic language. Job says, when I looked down the road and saw my three friends coming, I said, oh, thank God, here come my friends. They'll understand me. They'll sympathize with me. They didn't. They came here and immediately began to shake their heads. They began to find fault. And what was it then I saw? I thought I saw an oasis on the desert. And what I saw was a mirage. That's the language here. I didn't see reality. I saw nothing but a mirage out there on the desert. What a picture we have here that this man Job gives to us now. Listen to the plaintive cry of Job. And I'm not sure, but what it's the cry today of the human predicament, man today. Man with all of his gadgets. Oh, how lonesome he is, and how restless he is, and how unhappy he is, and how miserable he is. He's certainly Enosh. He's the miserable one. He needs something more than gadgets. He needs God. Then he goes on in his complaint here that his brethren actually have misunderstood, that they are not evaluating the situation as it is. And he speaks of the fact that he thought that they would be warm to him, but they vanish away. What time they wax warm, they vanish. That's verse 17. When it is hot, they're consumed out of their place. And then he speaks of the fact that there are eyes. It is all deceitful. It's like a pool. It's covered over with snow, but ice beneath it that's holding it up. And if you step on it, why, you fall. That's the type of friends they've turned out to be. And then he goes on to say, if you have something to tell me and teach me. I'm teachable. In verse 24 here, he says, teach me and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I've erred. And then he says, how forcible are right words, but what doth your arguing reprove? He said, what you've said is good, but doesn't touch my case at all. You're not speaking to me. You are not diagnosing my case at all. I've just heard today of somebody who went to a doctor, and the doctor diagnosed the case as arthritis. And it turned out that it was cancer. And it was too late by the time that they got in the hands of a cancer specialist to do anything for them at all. Now, that was the problem here with Job. Job said, you've come and you've attempted to diagnose my case. You've said it's one thing. It's not that. If you diagnose it accurately, and you have something to say to me, why, you say it to me, and I'll listen to you. You see, the problem of these men, all three of them, as we shall see, is that they did not know God, they did not know Job, and they really did not know themselves. They didn't quite understand. And they all are going to assume that Job has sinned and that he is holding out, that he won't come out with it, and that what's happening to him is judgment.